Pro Wrestling Super Show, Episode 66, The Royal Rumble Draft.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Pro Wrestling Super Show. I'm Stephen Graham, joined as always with Tim Livingston. How are you doing?
Good, Stephen. How are we doing? Happy New Year, I guess. It's still January. I'm still going to say Happy New Year. I don't care.
Yeah, why not? It's the New Year, so yeah. We can say that. It's probably been over a year since we did a show anyway.
Right. Yeah, so Happy New Year to the show. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
yeah, we're in the late 60s, I think. You'll know by anyone who's listening, so this is a pointless conversation. So what we're going to do today is something that hopefully we can do throughout the year for the major shows. But what we're going to do is take matches from the Royal Rumble and have a little draft. And me, Tim, and two guests are all going to pick their matches, and we're going to each form our own Royal Rumble show based on our draft picks, and whoever has the best show wins via Twitter poll. So that's all right. What's going on. And I'll explain the rules a little bit more after we bring on the guests. First, welcome back to the show, Matt Feuerstein.
Hey, how's it going? And by the way, my rule as far as Happy New Year is, you know, there's New Year's on January 1st, but then we have Lunar New Year coming up in a couple weeks. In the fall, there's Rosh Hashanah. So it's really always some sort of New Year. So I feel like it's always applicable to say. And thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to be here.
There's a Sri Lankan New Year. There's a Chinese New Year as well.
Yeah, yes. That's the Lunar New Year, the Chinese one. Okay. That's in a couple weeks. So we're good to go. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how is everybody? Happy to be here for the first time. It really appeals to the inner wrestling nerd inside me because I love the Royal Rumble. I think it's my favorite pay-per-view each year. I remember watching the very first Rumble, the one that was on USA back, 31 years ago now?
Yeah.
When I was like 10 years old, so.
Yeah, even the Rumble is great because even like a lousy Royal Rumble is fun to watch live because of the anticipation of who's coming next. So it has that going for it.
Yeah, I think it is over time. It has become, especially in the last few years, I think it's become as big as WrestleMania in a lot of ways. I think it's become the show that for a lot of people, they look forward to the most, not just because it leads up, quote unquote, the season for WrestleMania, but it's like, it is that type of show where because of how, contracts are now for the end of the year for most companies. And so when you hear the rumors about who might be showing up and, is that going to happen in the Rumble or people who've been away for injury? Are they going to be in the Rumble or who are they going to pull out of mothballs who they're just like, hey, why don't you come out and you can, have 3 minutes and then take a bump out and you'll be done. It's like it is that type of show that just has so much to it from a unpredictability standpoint that I don't think there's really any other show that can match it, not even WrestleMania. And WrestleMania is something that you take a year, sometimes even two, to build up.
And also now that they have WrestleManias be like 12 hours long, literally every other pay-per-view is as long as WrestleMania used to be, so they all feel epic now.
Yeah.
And WrestleMania hasn't done itself any favors in the last couple of years.
By being that long, especially, no.
And I do think that the split is coming. I do think that they're going to do a two-day WrestleMania probably as soon as next year, especially considering that next year there's going to be a two-day Wrestle Kingdom show, and the roster for New Japan is much smaller than what WWE trots out. So I would assume that they're going to figure out a way to do it and have turn into a weekend of sorts and see what happens.
Well, it's not hard because you just add the NXT people to the WrestleMania show and then you have, two shows. Yeah.
Well, what'll be interesting would be the backstage politics of, like, because you know everyone's going to be want to be on, like, the Sunday WrestleMania because that's, like, the real main event, you know? What? So, like, that's going to be the interesting part.
The biggest two-day show ever probably that people remember is the old Dream Slam show, and both those shows had great semi or main events on them, so I think that they'll figure out a way. I don't think it necessarily has to be the last match on the last day, but I have a feeling they'll figure out a way to make a lot of people happy. So,
my big concern with a two-day WrestleMania would be, can we handle that extra, you know, four-hour stretch of everybody pointing at the signs?
Sign
is almost here, as I saw on Twitter earlier today.
Oh, shit, we're going to have sign pointing. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're going to put two signs up next year. There's going to be one for day one and one for day two.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right.
They're going to be like opposite sides of the arena, and somebody who's really greedy might just like put both arms out and point at both signs.
Oh, yeah. Someone could do two nights because they're awesome. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Okay. Off topic, but that's fine. So let's go over the rules of what we've done here. First, we've taken all our names and randomized them into a draft order in Snake the Draft. So we're going to do that. Each round, you select one match. Your match that you select should not contain anyone that's in any of your other matches, and the same title cannot be defended more than once. There is an exception for your Royal Rumble match. Those people can be in other matches, but just not in the main title match, whichever main title you go for, or if you go for more than one.
And the other rule here is that there are rumbles that are for the WWE title. So if you do pick one that is your WWE title match, that is your WWE title match for your show. So you got to keep that in mind.
And we're each pitching six matches. We'll go through, we'll do all our picks. We'll take a little bit of break. And each of us will kind of order our shows. And then we'll come back, we'll give you our show, and we'll have a Twitter poll. And then whenever we do WrestleMania, I'll brag about how I won. So.
Sweet. Sounds good.
You deserve it. Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, due to the luck of the draw, Mr. Tim Livingston, you are up first. You can pick any match from the history of the Royal Rumble. What are you going for?
Yeah. So this is kind of the conundrum. I'm going right after the WWE title kind of toss up here, because I have my choice between what's generally considered the best Royal Rumble of all time in 1992 and a couple of really, really, really strong singles matches and even a triple threat match for the WWE title. So, but the first match I thought of that I really wanted, if I could get this going and I had the number one pick, I don't know if it's going to be a shocker to people listening or maybe it's a shocker to people listening. I'm not sure. But I'm going to take John Cena versus Umaga in the Last Man Standing match in 2007. I mean, timing is everything, right? So TJ Hawk, friend of the pod, I guess, just reviewed the 2007 show for his website for 411 Mania. And I was just thinking about this draft and that comes up. And I was just thinking about, like, how, if I were to be in this draft, how low could I be to get that match? And I'm thinking, well, there's actually a chance that I, you know, it could be taken number one overall. And I was like, I don't want to take any chances, and I'm not going to. Look, this match, this is why Last Man Standing has become a trope in WWE lore for over a decade now. I mean, they did Last Man Standing matches before, but this is like the definitive John Cena match. Like, this is the match that I think, even if you were a harshest critic of him, that you come away from that match and you're like, wow, this guy, this is an incredible performance. And then Umaga, who, for all intents and purposes, is the most underrated big man probably of this century in a lot of ways, goes out there and shows with a very quote-unquote limited character what a guy like him can do. And he just puts on one of the greatest monster heel performances you'll ever see. And then also knows how to bump and sell like a mother for whatever John does. It's in a lot of ways, I would hear arguments for it being the best WWE title match of all time. I would hear that argument. But it is also a match that I think when you think of a lot of matches that try and make the Last Man Standing kind of the most relevant part of a feud ender, so to speak. We've had it with, you know, Gargano Ciampa this year, Becky Lynch, Charlotte this year. It is the kind of the definitive, you know, feud ender. AJ Styles, but like, that's the type of match that this is, right? And it is a match that, if done correctly, can really stand the test of time. And this one, the longer this goes, especially considering it is very unique for its era and for, you know, what's happened since, I figured, you know what, let's throw a curveball out there and let's make this one the number one pick overall. So
it is the best match in Rumble history, and it wouldn't have got by me. So
right,
smart to pick it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, for me, I was like, well, I could pick a Rumble first, but I was like, you know what? If I had the opportunity to take it, I figured I might do it. So there it is.
All right. Well, John, you have the second pick. What are you doing?
Second pick. And I'm going to stay in the WWE title realm. And to the surprise of probably no one that knows me, given the fact I'm in my 40s, and that knowing of who my favorite wrestler is and everything else, I'm going to take the 92 Rumble.
There you go.
Because to me, and I argue with younger friends who grew up in the Attitude Era, the 92 Rumble is, in my opinion, hands down, undebatable, the best Rumble ever. And it's not just because of the story, you know, it's the first time the title was on the line. You've got Flair in it three. You've got all that, you know, everybody comes in and he literally, you know, feeds for everybody. It's the greatest commentary performance, in my opinion, ever from Heenan. The lineup to me is just so ridiculously star-studded for the era. To me, I've always said, I feel like that Rumble is kind of like the epilogue of the whole, like, territorial era of wrestling when you see everybody that's in it. Guys that were, you know, big names from all over the country, they've all landed in, you know, WWE for whatever reason, or WWF at that point. And they're all in the same match for the title. It's great. It's a great Rumble. It's the best Rumble. It's, I think, one of Ric Flair's best performances. Like I said, I think definitely the best commentary performance of all time. It is an all-time classic match by any opinion, metric, whatever you want to use, for me. So that's what I'm taking.
Can't really argue with that. And you killed two birds with one stone. So I would say that those are kind of the expected top two picks. But then we get to number three, and now we can go in a lot of different directions. So Matt, what direction are you going to go in?
Oh, I'm excited to say my direction. Those two matches were both high in what I was thinking about. But when I prepared my list, I knew that they were going to be very fought after matches. So I did not actually include them because I figured I would, you know, it would blow up my whole plan because someone else would take them. So I decided I was going to go with a Royal Rumble match because it is the Royal Rumble. And I decided, you know, what Royal Rumble can I think of that really had a lot of what people want in a Royal Rumble? You know, a really good pace, nice surprises, surprise wrestlers impressing and doing a great job, okay. Very crowd pleasing, very exciting crowd pleasing ending. Oh, no. So I decided to go with the 2018 Women's Shit. Royal Rumble
wow.
as my it number is. One pick. And I'm very excited to have this on my card.
That was my number one pick.
Ah, sorry.
And you described it well. One of the best booked matches in WWE history. Just so smartly worked. So many great surprises. Ugh. That was my whole plan. And now I have to rethink.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I feel guilty, but also proud.
Yeah.
That I have the same idea as you, because I do think that you generally have very good takes on these things. So I'm happy that we were thinking the same way. Yeah. What a great match, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally amazing match. I had a hard time leaving it off my Voices of Wrestling top 10 list. I think I settled with it at number 11. So it was hard for me to leave it off. But my list had like 7 women's matches on it, so I think it was fine. But it was hard. Man, so now I gotta rethink. But I'm the first pick, the last pick of the first round, and because it's a snake, I get the first pick of the second round. So I get 2 picks in a row here. Man, I think I'll just go with the next best match available. I'll do like what you're supposed to do in drafts, just pick the best thing available and then work it out later. So I'm going with the Rockers and the Orient Express from the 1991 Royal Rumble.
That was on my list.
I had a feeling that Steven was going to get to that one before I would, but yeah, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I took one of your matches and you took one of mine for sure. So
that's true. Yeah.
No, I had both of them on my list. So yeah, we're thrown off there, but yeah, amazing match, great opener, like a perfect opener. Totally hypes the crowd. You got double topes in fucking 1991. You have this insane monkey flip, sunset flip finish that I've never seen after that, which is just amazing. Yeah, just great, great match. I love it. And everyone, if you haven't seen it in a while, give it another look because it's freaking awesome.
Still probably the best opener in Royal Rumble history.
Oh, yeah. I can't. Yeah. Oh, there's one that's close. But I might want to pick it later, so I won't bring it up. So I get another pick, and, man, having 2 picks in a row is hard. I feel like I should take a Rumble, but 2 are gone already, so it's just Tim that's going to take one from me, so I'll do whichever one he doesn't do. So that's easy. I'm gonna go with the Jumping Bomb Angels versus the Glamour Girls.
No! Steven, what are you doing? Oh my god!
See, this is the thing. Steven and I have done so many damn shows together that I'm really not surprised that he and I are gonna have matches like this that match up. That's dang. Yeah.
Yeah. So another tag match. It's gonna be a tag heavy show for me. Jumping Bomb Angels in the fucking 80s. Were revolutionary, and I've been watching a lot of them in All Japan too, and they may be the best tag team of all time. I'm getting close to that opinion, so we'll see. But Glamour Girls too, awesome. Judy Martin, she was throwing power bombs at that time, which is freaking crazy too. The commentary sucks because Vince McMahon's freaking totally racist and can't tell them apart. But great, great match. 2 out of 3 falls. It goes quite a good amount of time. And I've got 2 awesome tag matches on my undercard, and I'll be happy with that. So, Matt, you're up again.
All right. Well, I'm not ready to name my WWE title match yet, but I wanted to go instead to the Intercontinental title and pick a match that I liked very, very much when I was a teenager. I still think it holds up. It might be problematic in certain ways, but it is Chris Benoit versus Chris Jericho for the Intercontinental title in a ladder match from the 2001 Royal Rumble. I think it still stands up as one of the better ladder matches in WWE history. I definitely think it was the best Intercontinental title match in Royal Rumble history. And I think it's just a really solid undercard match that I really always liked a lot.
Yeah, it's great, but it's because the way it's worked, it's kind of hard to watch because Benoit kind of does a lot of things that would hurt his head.
Well, that one thing where he does the suicide dive and Jericho has the chair up.
Yeah.
It's probably the big one for me.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to watch now for me. But I have trouble watching any Benoit match, so that's might be my issues. But yeah, it's a great match. When I did years ago, I did a top 25 matches in Royal Rumble history. And, that was definitely the only Benoit match I forced myself to put on there. So what's up, John? You have no title, no WWE title match to pick, no Royal Rumble to pick unless you want 2 Rumbles for some reason.
No,
but you're up.
You threw me with your second pick there. I shouldn't have been thrown by it, but I was.
Yeah.
Cause that was totally going to be on mine. I'm going to go with, on the topic of openers, my favorite opener from a Rumble. And it's not even about the match to me, but just about the moment and like the reaction and everything that like the visceral emotion of the moment. And that's, Taz and Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
So because
I had a really good moment. Yeah.
I was watching it live. Angle had, you know, I think the unbeaten streak going at the time.
It was, yeah.
And, you know, mystery opponent. And then Taz came out. It's in New York City, in the Garden, and the whole crowd lost their minds. And it was one of, I think, the best executed debuts that the company's ever done.
Yeah. You got it. Totally before they ruined Taz, too.
Yeah, Olympic champion, undefeated, all this stuff. And then Taz comes in and just wrecks him. And beats him like really, really decisively. And then after that, they don't know what to do with him. And, you know, he got hurt and whatever. But that one match and that debut was just, it's one of those things like you look at the actual work and, oh, it may not hold up to this and that and the other. But as just a moment. And I know they book for moments now and it's annoying, but this is a moment that actually holds up to me as being very, very, worthy of inclusion.
And the perfect arena to debut him in too.
Oh yeah.
It was at hometown. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. There's mine.
All right, Tim, you get, back to back picks. What are you going to do?
Yeah, this is kind of weird for me because, so I think one of the things that I'm starting to realize as I'm kind of looking over my list is that it's really difficult to find something a little bit. I'm trying to find something kind of like, you know, I think everybody now to this point has kind of had their signature match. Like, I think that's like, you know, you have your Jumping Bomb Angels Glamour Girl match. You have your Taz Angle match. You know, those are two good ones. And it's kind of like what I'd like to kind of see. If there's anything that sticks out. And so I was like, well, because I have back-to-back picks here, I want a marquee singles match. And so I'm going to take, Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan from 2014. That is, Bray Wyatt in 2014, you could have sold me as being literally the next big superstar that the WWE had. And after this, of course, the next month, you have the amazing Shield, Wyatt family match at an Elimination Chamber. And Wyatt is put over convincingly on back-to-back shows like this. And this match, I just remember there was, you know, the one thing is about this match is that Bray's cutoffs are insane in this match. He has incredible transitions. He throws one of that short cross body that he has. It's one of the nastiest ones he throws in this match. He has a great Uranagi. His senton's great in this match. But I think, you know, like everybody else who's watched that match, the finish is just insane. It is. And now, sadly, with what's happened with Daniel, it's kind of, you know, hard to watch because, boy, does he lean into that. But it was one of the great singles matches. It's probably... you know, Daniel Bryan in 2014 has that match, has the Triple H match. I think I might prefer this to the Triple H match in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And this is a match that to me, like, man, like it, if you could have that, either the opener or the second match, depending on what I do, it's like, man, this is a great thing to have. It was an opener, I think, that year. So yeah, I might have to make it my opener for my show, but it's like, yeah, I wanted to make sure that match got on my show and I figured, hey, let's do it now. So. Now for my third match.
Oh shit, yeah. I have a good idea.
Sorry. So, I think for my third match, it's another thing where I want to kind of mix it up a little bit. And so, I think I might be one of the only people who might pick this as the IC title match, but, or maybe not. Maybe someone else had on the list. But I'm going to take I'm going to take Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens. And that match, to me, watching it live, it kind of reminded me, the most of the old John Moxley matches, where Dean, in those matches was just throwing his body wherever. He didn't care what happened. That was about as dangerous as I think I remember seeing him in a WWE ring. And so I figured, I don't really have, I have a gimmick match for the WWE title.
You have two last standing matches.
Yeah. the other IC title match that I was thinking about was, I think it'll be picked, but I don't know. I think I'm okay with having two on the same show. It is very weird. I do think it's a really good match, yeah. But, I'm just going to go with that. I feel like right now, instead of, the show itself having any specific theme, I think I just want the match quality to be there. And so far it's there. So I'm going to do that.
That sounds good. And yeah, WCW did it with like back-to-back cage matches to end a show and stuff like that. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it works for me. It's a good match, and having two great matches on your show is nothing that I would ever really complain about. So yeah. Not going to go with that. But John.
Yes.
What's up? Where's your going with this?
That actually was going to be my next pick.
Oh. Wow. I don't even remember that match, so.
They killed each other in that match. Like, it got comfortable to watch.
Yeah, Kevin especially takes a couple bumps in that match where you're just like, what are you doing to your body? Like, just insanity. And then the finish is just one of the great all-time, what the hell, like, surprise finishes too, so.
Yeah.
Huh.
So. As I scramble a bit now, I'm going to go with, we'll go with some tag team, shenanigans for this next pick. And it's two teams that I wouldn't call this one of their, like, really standout matches, but it's a good match. It's a good undercard match, I feel like. So you don't, because you don't want to, when you're putting a show together, you don't want the undercard to be so good, like they're burnt out by the Rumble. So that's what everybody's there for. They're there for the Rumble. But you want some good, solid stuff, to sort of build it up. So I'm going to take that New Day Usos.
Dang it. That was going to be my tag title match. That's
from 2016.
Call. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
And something about this stuff is that Royal Rumbles are filled with like awesome tag matches, because the Rumble kind of has all the singles guys, so the tag guys kind of get in good tag matches, and yeah, there's quite a few to pick from when you go with that.
And again, I wouldn't say that's like, oh, that's their best match, or even one of their maybe top five matches, but they're always so consistently good when you put those teams in the ring, and that to me is just the perfect, like, put them on the card. You know what you're getting. You know you're going to get something entertaining, some good athleticism, and all that kind of thing. So there's my tag match.
Well, that's a really good match. And those two friggin' had like the feud of the year that year. So anything from that's good. But Matt, where are you going?
All right. Well, I'm ready for my WWE title match.
Oh, I am too. So I'm hoping you're not picking mine.
Yeah, it's a very tough call. The one that I liked the best at the time, I can't pick because it was Benoit versus Angle. And I already took Benoit. So it's really between a couple, and I'm honestly deciding as I'm saying it, but I think just based on how I reacted to it at the time and how it was reacted to at the time, and it includes one of my all-time favorite wrestlers and then also a wrestler that was not one of my favorites, but it's Triple H against Cactus Jack from the 2000 Royal Rumble Street Fight. I really love that match at the time. I'm not totally sure how well it holds up, but, it was a real – it was kind of that – we realized that Mick Foley still had it in him when he, sort of made Triple H's career in a lot of ways. It kind of like – I like a lot of Triple H matches, but it still kind of pains me to pick a match of his on this list. But that match was a really, you know, I really love that match. And I think it was a great WWE title match and very dramatic and a great setting, good atmosphere. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, and it holds. I watched it like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and it holds up. It's freaking great. And it's such a departure from what the WWE was doing at the time. Like, most of their gimmick matches were like, look at the one from the year before with The Rock and Mick Foley, where they like electrocute the building and they do all this comical stuff. Well, this one's like, they're destroying each other with barbed wire. Like, it's quite the departure. It's really awesome.
Wasn't and sorry, go ahead.
To be fair, that was also the one where The Rock tried to murder Mick Foley with the chair.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I actually consider that this match, Cactus against Triple H, almost the beginning of a new era of great matches in the WWF, because, you know, Russo had left a few months earlier and they had all these Russo-rific main events where they just sort of brawled through the crowd, you know, a lot of stuff. And it was sort of like a redemption sort of, in that they then WWE went on this run of like really great main events. A lot of them were kind of like street fighty brawls, but they were much better than the ones from 99. And I also liked the moment where The Rock came out to save Cactus, because it was almost like The Rock under Russo was booked as this total like irredeemable asshole, and then he started having these redeeming qualities and showed that he actually cared about Foley, and I really enjoyed that aspect too. So this match just has a lot of has a lot of emotional resonance for me.
I think what's also interesting about this, and I think people tend to forget this about the match, is that earlier in the show, the Dudleys and the Hardys had an insane tables match.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's great, too. And we shouldn't talk about it, just in case someone wants to.
Yeah, sure. But people kind of forget about that match on that card in a lot of ways, except for the spot at the end. But it's like, they had to go out and top that match, and they did, which is insane. Like, to think about how much they went after in that tables match, and then they go out there and have that match for the title, I was kind of blown away that those two things happened so quickly after each other. So, I know someone's going to pick that match at some point, sometime. So I figured that it would make mention of it now. So just in case someone else picks it before, you know,
I think 2000 is one of those rare years where the undercard trumps the Rumble, like as a whole, all the different matches you see on the undercard. And the Rumble kind of gets lost in the shuffle from that year, because there was so many good matches and like exciting things that happened in the earlier bouts.
I would agree with that.
Okay, so I have two picks while I stare down my dog, who's trying to tell me to take her out, even though she doesn't need to go out. First, I'm gonna go with my title match, my main title match here, and I'm gonna go for one of the best title matches in WWE history, one of the best feuds in WWE history, with the best wrestler in WWE history. I'm going with Bret and Diesel from 95, because that's fucking great. Not quite as good as the Survivor Series match, but it's really great in its own. And it had it had weird interference, which kind of was interesting for the time, where like people were attacking the enemy's friend so that they could win the Rumble themselves and then get the title match for themselves. It was interesting, but like the whole match was great, and Bret and Diesel just had amazing chemistry. So that's a great match, and I needed a title match, and I'll go with that one.
Yeah, the book, it's actually the second Royal Rumble year in a row, 95, that had a WWF title match that ended with all sorts of crazy run-ins. But unfortunately, during this one, nobody ascended to heaven.
No.
Oh, I hope someone picks that.
I will not pick that, so if anyone else wants it.
That's pretty good. I get a next pick, too. And I think if anyone knows me well enough, knows what my next pick might be. I'm going to go with it. Yes. So it is Max Mini, Mosaic, and Nova versus Battalion, El Torito, and Tarantula from the 1998 Royal Rumble.
Nice.
A super, super fun minis spot fest where they do all these crazy dives. Max Mini is a superstar that everyone loves, and you know, another great high energy tag match for my undercard. So got to go with that. I would have been sad if anyone else took it from me, so I had to take it to the side.
So I'll say it now. I am absolutely amazed that none of us picked AJ Styles, John Cena for a WWE title match.
Yeah, I was wrestling with it.
Me too.
No pun intended. But yeah, I had to go with that other one. It was close, though. It was really close.
I didn't pick it because the Rumble match I want to pick would be ruined.
Right. That's true.
I'm also surprised that no one took Angle Benoit. I know Benoit,
that match,
you know,
is garbage. That's why. I hate it.
I still like it.
It's like 700 German suplexes in a row. That's the match.
And lots of submission reversals. Don't forget that part.
Oh, yeah, there's that too. Matt, you're talking and it's your pick.
Okay. So, I had a feeling that not too many people were going to go for a match for the World Heavyweight title, because if you look through the list, most of those matches in the Royal Rumble kind of sucked a lot. Like, you had the wonderful Scott Steiner versus Triple H match, everyone's favorite. And you also had the wonderful last man standing between Shawn Michaels and Triple H, which was also very brutal. But there was one that was a lot of fun. And it wasn't long. It was kind of a sprint, but it featured two legends, guys I had to have on my list. And it is the 2010 World Heavyweight title match between The Undertaker and Rey Mysterio.
That's a great match.
I'm really happy someone picked this match.
Me too. I was just
really happy someone picked this match.
Oh. Yeah, it was a great match. Like I said, it wasn't long, but it was just like a perfect little sprint, you know, with Rey, you know, getting like a lot of great hope spots on The Undertaker. Undertaker selling really well. You know, this was during a period where The Undertaker was actually like having a pretty good run there. He also, you know, this was like right during the time when he was having those WrestleMania matches with Michaels that a lot of people like a lot. But this one was, you know, a very different pace. You know, not as much of the, over the top drama. It was just like good, fast paced action, you know, and, you know, and a good finish too, where The Undertaker just, you know, he puts him away, but, you know, not after getting a good fight out of it. So I really love this match. And it is the only good World Heavyweight title match in Royal Rumble history, as far as I can recall.
Man,
so,
I'm looking back at my top 25 Royal Rumble list, and I had that number 5, and I had Diesel Brett number 6. So I made the wrong pick, I think. But it's a great
match. But, you know, there is sentimental value, you know, that counts.
Yeah, that counts. But yeah, great, great match. And everyone, like, that was the match that completely shocked me when I rewatched everything about how great it was. So if you haven't seen it or you don't recall it or you just missed it at the time, give it a rewatch because it's absolutely amazing. John.
Yes.
What are you going to do now?
Speaking of fun sprints for championships, I'm going to take, Neville and Rich Swann from a couple of years.
Nice. There you go. All right.
So I like both guys. I think the company is definitely less than without both guys still there. One of the better matches, I think, to date for me in the Cruiserweight run, especially like it was for a title at least. I know, you know, Buddy Murphy was having a bunch of crazy matches for months before he, you know, won the belt, but yeah, for me, that's definitely worthy, and it fills a nice spot on the undercard while still keeping, you know, anticipation high for your Rumble. So there you go.
Yeah. Tim, what do you think about that?
I mean, I that was another match I was thinking, like, if for whatever reason I was going to probably use a late round pick on that, but it's a match that I think at the time it was supposed to be, you know, the breather match before the Rumble, and then they went out and killed it. Like, it was a really neat little match they put together. So, oh man, now I'm in a weird spot.
You have your final two. No, you have one more pick after this one. So
I have the last pick overall.
Yeah. And so you have two picks and then you have the last pick overall to finish it off.
I'm trying to pick. I'm going to take a Rumble here.
Yeah.
But do I want to wait? Like, do I want to make my other pick first?
You'll just have the last pick overall next, like after this round. So
I don't think I can wait for that to be my last pick.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do that. I don't know if I want to do that match either. So I have, I'm trying to think. So like, I have a babyface going over. I have a baby or heel winning. I have a babyface winning. Technically, I guess he's a babyface. Yeah. So there are a couple that kind of. Oh my god! I think I might make that my last pick. Just because I don't think anyone will pick it. I don't want it to be all. I want to have a straight. I have one straight up match, but I don't want just a bunch of gimmick matches. I've already picked two of the same gimmick, so I don't think I can do.
Is there a third? So. You can get the Alberto Big Show world title match, Last Man Standing, as well.
That's a great.
And then do three world Last Man Standing matches.
You know what? I think I'm going to take my Rumble. I'm going to take the 08 Rumble.
Oh, fuck.
I think in time that has aged about as good as any other Rumble. I think that, of course, when it happened live, when we all watched it, we couldn't believe the end. It was one of the great, legit, shocking moments in this century of wrestling, with Cena coming back, and then all of a sudden, you know, 5 months after tearing his pec right off the bone, he's fine because, you know, wink, wink. but it is a great Rumble. It's the last Rumble in the Garden. It is a crowd that really hung on everything in that match. They were smarmy. They were very much the smart crowd trying to get over. But the greatest thing that happened in that match is Cena came out and they all lost it, which is one of the, that just kind of tells you that Vince McMahon is better than anybody. I mean, that's just how that goes.
Least he was at the time.
At that time, yeah. But then, like, at that point, it's like that. I was thinking about another Rumble, but I think having the John Cena moment, I think that's kind of that's I'm okay taking that. So I'm gonna take the 08 Rumble.
Yeah, that's a great match, and it was what I thought I was gonna take as my next match, but I think I found another one to take for my Rumble. But yeah, that's right. One of the best ones, and really well laid out too. Like,
right.
And like, people forget about it, but it's freaking awesome. So, good pick.
So now I have to pick. So I have an IC title match. I have a Rumble. I have the world title. I need a tag title match. I guess I don't need one, but I'm thinking about like, oh, I know what I'm going to take. Steven,
yeah.
You took your Brett Diesel match, so I'm going to swipe this out from under you, and I'm taking Brett and Owen versus the Backers.
It's a good one.
Oh, no. That was going to be my next pick. Nice choice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is, I mean, the Quebecers, I think in 93 and before they were broken up for good later in 94, I still think they're one of the better unheralded tag teams that WWF ever had.
And Pierre is still one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah. PCO is PCO. But look, I mean, this is a great match. Like, this is a great selling performance by Brett. Of course, the Quebecers have nasty offense to kind of do stuff. And, you know, I think that for sure I was thinking for a tag team match. I was like, well, I think I was actually going to take the aforementioned tables match at some point. But I was like, you know what? It's like I have two gimmick matches. Let's throw something out there with a story to it. And I think this is about as good a tag team story as there was. So, yeah, I think Quebecers, Brett Owen, I kicked your leg out from under your leg is – you know, I have to include that here. So, and it does get the post match promo in there. For
yeah,
sure.
Nice angle too on your show.
So. Yeah. So there you go.
That's a good match. I really like that too. Man, Brett and Owen only had like four matches as a team, but they were all fucking awesome.
Yeah. What 3 weeks or so before that they had the Steiners match? It was just exactly. Like okay, right? It's like sure, right?
Yeah. John.
Yes.
You have two more picks. So,
dude,
where are you going to go with this?
I got a few directions I can go. I don't have an Intercontinental title match yet. And I remember literally nothing about this match except who won. But I know that I like both guys that are in it. And so I'm going to take, somewhat blindly, because again, I don't remember much about it, Regal and Edge from the 2002 Rumble.
That's the one Regal was doing the fun Brass Knucks gimmick?
Yeah, I remember it was from that time period where he was hyped.
I remember there was some fun stuff with that, yeah. Definitely. And they did the whole check him before the match, and he pulls it out from somewhere else, and yeah.
Pulls it off the turnbuckle, and like, yeah.
Yeah, fun stuff. Yeah. Fun stuff for that time. About as fun as you can have with an Edge match, I think. Matt.
Okay. Well, this is getting tough, because definitely I was very excited to pick that Quebecers match, but I'm going to go with another maybe surprising direction for my tag title match. It's not really a much talked about or much remembered match, but for the time it was really good, and it was followed by a pretty important angle. I am going to go with, from 1995, Bob Holly and the 1-2-3 Kid against Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka. This was actually a really good match.
It's great. It's really great. 1-2-3 Kid and Bam Bam Bigelow have the most amazing chemistry you've ever seen for some reason. It's so good. Bam Bam's fucking Frankensteiners from 1-2-3 Kid. It's so awesome.
Yeah, and they were both they both happened to just be like really good. That's part of it. Plus they had the LT angle at the end, which was good. You know, I didn't expect to pick a Tatanka match here, but, life throws curveballs at you, and I'm happy to hit this one. I think this pick holds up. This is a good match. If anyone hasn't seen it in a long time, watch it. You'll see.
Yeah.
I 100% was going to consider this match because I so thought that Steven was going to take the Quebecers Bret Owen match. And so I was like, oh yeah, no, if that's like my fifth pick, I'm totally cool with that being my fifth pick. It is a great match. It's the end. Remember, people forget this is a tag tourney final.
Yeah.
Because the titles, I can't remember who got hurt, but they had to vacate them. Yeah. And
I think it was Sean and Diesel vacated.
Yeah, Sean and Diesel broke up, and that's where the titles got vacated.
That's right. Right. And then Diesel won. Yeah, okay. But yeah,
And then the Smoking Guns, didn't they win the title like right away after this?
Yeah, like the next week.
Like the next night? Yeah. The
next night on Raw, if I remember right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were too injured to enter the tournament, so once the tournament ended, they got the first shot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's a great match. And I love that Tim had the exact same plan that Matt had. So, and I was not ever going to pick the Quebecers match because I wanted Bret Diesel. So,
yeah.
I don't even know who's next. It's me. Oh boy. Okay. I have two matches left because I snake it to the last round. So I got to pick my Rumble. And I was kind of sad when Tim took 2008 because that one was a really, really good one left. But there's another one that's really, really awesome that's left that I don't know. I haven't heard too many people talk about it. We've got a match off that show already earlier, but I'm going to take the 2007 Rumble.
Ooh, nice. That's a good one.
It is. It's the one where Undertaker and Shawn go for like 15 minutes at the end.
Right.
And to like tease their WrestleMania matches like 2 years later. And like there's things that people forget. You have Finley going like 30 minutes, which is fucking awesome. You have Rated RKO kind of teaming up and taking everyone out. Just lots of fun exchanges, but that last 7, 8, 15 minutes, whatever it was at the end with Undertaker Shawn was fucking awesome. And got people excited for the WrestleMania stuff, so. I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, that was kind of the Rumble I thought about taking before I realized that I could take the John Cena Return Rumble. So it's a great Rumble. It was one of the things you can tell about a great Rumble is you know how to fill time. They know how to fill time in that Rumble specifically because you have a guy like Edge and Randy Orton in that match where they're and Finlay who can just do whatever he wants essentially and he'll get over. So yeah, I mean that's the type of thing is they have the great Rumbles have those glue guys that can kind of take those middle stretches until someone comes in to start clearing house and get the ring a little bit less cluttered, and man, they do a really good job in that match for sure.
Oh man. So I have to pick another match. And I got three tag matches, my WWE title match and my Rumble. And now I need one more thing to fill this out to make my card very complete. There's one match that I don't think I'm going to take, but I hope someone does. Might have to talk about that later. I'm just going to scroll through the entire list to make sure I'm not missing anything really important. Man, Undertaker IRS is sitting right there.
Keep in mind, people are going to be voting on this.
There's a fucking Fereza Guerrero match from 97 with Hector Garza and Pero Aguayo. That's awesome, but it wasn't. So I'm not going to pick that. You got the Hardys-Dudleys table match we talked about earlier, which is great. There's a lot of good stuff still sitting out there that might not even get picked. Ooh. I don't know if I want a gimmick on my Royal Rumble, because I got the Royal Rumble. That's a gimmick. So I think I'm going to go with something from not that long ago. If I can find it. It was Charlotte and Becky Lynch from the 2016 Royal Rumble for the Divas title. This one is when Charlotte had Ric Flair in his corner, her corner. These two obviously have had legendary feuds for years. And this was a great match on that. And Becky Lynch at the time was just this on fire babyface with amazing promos. You do have the awful, awful, awful spot where Ric Flair like forcefully kisses her, which is why it's my last pick and not like higher, but it is a good match. So, and I only had one women's match, which isn't enough. So I'll go with that one.
What I remember most about that match is it being good. And then Ric Flair throws his jacket over Becky Lynch's head when she's got the armbar on and she acts like a canary in the cage.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Where it completely gets like stops applying the hold, stops everything, like it's time to go to sleep or something. I remember that being my only real complaint with that match.
Well, you know, Ric Flair is not known for amazing finishes of matches. man, Matt, your last pick to round out your show.
All right. Yeah, I also didn't want to go with a gimmick match, but I feel like I might have to. There are three matches that I'm choosing between, and they're all in some way a gimmick match. This is where my competitive juices get flowing a little bit, because like there's like, you know, there are a couple of like these like, you know, low key undercard matches that are just regular matches that I'm like, oh, that was a really good little match, but people aren't going to vote for it by looking at it. So I'm going to actually go with the Hardys versus the Dudleys in the tag team tables match from 2000. That was a great match. They did a great job. Really put the Dudleys on the map and, you know, got them really in with that whole crew with the Edge and Christian and the Hardys after their ladder match from No Mercy. You know, started this new era of, quote, tag team wrestling, since most of their big matches were not actually tag team matches. They were just, you know, big, crazy spot fest. But it was a really good version of that. Good atmosphere. So it's my second match from the same show. That feels a little bit weird, but hey, it's a great match.
It is a great match. There's another Hardys tag match that someone might take because it's fucking awesome too. But yeah, this one's amazing and it goes all over the building. Crazy spots. Jeff Hardy like dives out of the balcony like he's New Jack, which is fucking awesome. So yeah, it's a crazy match and it'd be a really good match to have like open the show or whatever to get everything hyped.
Agreed.
John, your final pick.
Yes. Final pick. I thought about taking that other Hardys match that you're talking about, but I'm not going to do it.
Oh boy.
I'm turning the clock back to 1990.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry.
And taking Marvin Greg Valentine submission match.
Yes.
Damn it.
Good. Someone had to pick. I was going to get really upset.
I'll tell you why. They beat the crap out of each other.
Boy, do they.
Like, they beat each other, like, they owed each other a significant amounts of money. Somebody slept with somebody's wife, you know, and that's just kind of how I remember the whole Ronnie Garvin, Ric Flair stuff in 87. I think that's just how Ronnie Garvin liked to get down. So,
and you just did not see that in the WWF back then, ever. Yeah.
I mean, I knew about it from, like, watching, you know, NWA back in the day, and you know, my dad had watched wrestling for years before I started, and he would tell me about some of his favorites, and he would always talk about, you know, Ronnie Garvin, even going back to like ICW in Kentucky and the Valentine Flair team and then the Valentine Flair feud and all that. So, you know, I had been sort of reared, to use my East Tennessee colloquialism, to sort of pay attention to them anyway. And then they had like the year, the year long story, and it built up with this match, and they just beat the crap out of each other, and it's great. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard not to have that as part of any of our cards, right?
I felt bad not taking it, but I needed another women's match. So I was hoping someone would pull through and grab it because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. It's a great match.
Timmy, last pick.
Shit, man. That's what sucks is that, like, I kind of wanted to get away from having too many gimmick matches because I already had them, you know, but now it's like that was, I would have made an exception for it. There's a really weird match that I'm not going to take. I was thinking, well, if I'm going to end it, I could end it with a weird one.
Boogeyman and JBL? But,
no, it was going to be something else. Man, but I already have a tag match, right? So I have like, so that tag match, I mean, I guess I could do that match. It's a good match. I don't know if I want to do that. Man, this is difficult. Christian versus Ezekiel Jackson.
That's great, actually. If you have
not, it's a good match. It's a good match, but I don't know if I want to have it. Man, that's the kind of thing. It's like I'm going through here just trying to say, it's like, oh my god, why didn't we pick that? Yeah. Right? I'm trying to get that match, and I think Garvin Valentine was that. I think the last one
Let me look at my list here that I made.
There are a couple others I have some regret about not picking, but yeah, most of the good ones are taken.
See, that's kind of the thing. It's like, the Vader Undertaker match is fine, but it's not as good as the Kenny and Stampede match, which I think is what's really holding me back from wanting to select that. So, I think what I'm going to do is, I think it was a pretty good match, is I'm going to take, Kalisto versus Alberto Del Rio from 2016.
Right, cool.
I think people kind of forget about that because a lot of that feud happened on the pre-shows and, it was kind of Kalisto's first kind of run as a singles guy, but I remember they essentially were so good that they had to get them on the main show. Like, that's how good that series was, because they actually wanted to put it on the main show, and it got on there. I think as far as what I'm looking for, it's like I'd like to have something a little bit more upbeat, something with a little bit more tempo to it. The other matches I have are kind of, there are a lot of dragging out. They're dramatic, but there's not a lot of like speed to them. So, yeah, I think I'm just going to take that. I also think I probably overthought that and wanted to go a little bit outside the box, but I'm going to take it. It's kind of a end this thing with a whimper, but it's all right. I think I'm okay with the pick.
Varieties up your card. Well,
so yeah, that's good,
because your card was very brawl heavy. And
correct.
So I'm going
to. So the weird match that I wanted to pick, but I was self-conscious about it not looking good on paper. Big Boss Man versus the Barbarian from 1990. I like
that match a lot, though.
That's such a good match, but people are going to see it and be like, huh? But if I was a Boulder Man, I would have picked that match.
Like if you picked a Minis match?
Yes, exactly. If I was bold, like
you. I'm going to list off a couple matches that got snubbed that are really great that I'm kind of surprised they weren't picked. Hardy's M&M from 2007.
Yeah, I was actually going to pick that match, but I don't know. I didn't know if I wanted two tag matches on there. I was thinking about that, but it's like, I think if I was actually going to try and construct the card, I don't know where I would have been able to slot it in, but it is a very good match. Very good match.
Michaels Jannetty from 93 for the IC title is really great.
Yeah.
Flair McMahon in a street fight.
Had I not taken the 92 Rumble, I would have taken that.
I was close to taking it, but I didn't want two like street fights on the same card, even though tables match. What's the difference, right? But
There's a couple title matches, but I know we are limited on those, so I won't mention them. What else? What else? That's their title matches are got snubbed, but we're only allowed four of them, so that's understandable.
All right.
Well, the only universal title match that I really could have considered was the Owens versus Roman Reigns match.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I thought it was pretty good, but it was, you know, it just felt kind of redundant to some of the other matches I had.
I did think about taking the Eddie Chavo deal from 2004, not so much as a match, but just the whole story told where Eddie, you know, beats him to a bloody pulp.
Yeah, no, I thought about that too. The other one that I think I was waiting for somebody to pick just because, you know, I mean, we have our favorites and, you know, as far as I know it's a WWE title match and Steven Gordon wanted to bring, but it's like, I am kind of surprised that the Cena Brock Rollins triple threat didn't get picked. I'm a little bit surprised.
That one, AJ Cena, Rock Jericho, Warrior Slaughter too.
Yeah,
kind of Warriors, the best matches left.
Yeah. If I hadn't picked the Women's Rumble, I would have probably picked actually the 2003 Rumble match, which it's only good for a half of it. Like the first half is really good, but the first half is unbelievably good. I don't know when's the last time anyone watched that match, but it is just this like crazy sprint spot fest with everyone on their game. I highly recommend you just watch like the first half of that match.
I'm a little surprised nobody took the 01 Rumble.
So I was thinking about the 02 Rumble because that was, I think, the first year they really tried to go back and get kind of nostalgic. Like that's the Mr. Perfect Return Rumble, I think, is the 02 Rumble. And they had a couple people come out where you're just like, oh, holy crap. And they could go too. And so it's like, I was thinking about that. It was also local. That was the San Jose one. So, but it's I don't know. I'm a fan of the 2000 Rumble. I know that I think it's got some really good variety. It has one of the craziest bumps ever when Taka Michinoku looks like he like separates his shoulder. You have the two cool dance off and Rikishi tossing Scotty and Sexay over the ropes, which I think was great. You had the first great like actual domination by Kane. I thought that's probably the only Kane Royal Rumble performance I really liked. And then I did like the ending when Rock figured out a way to get Big Show over the top. I mean, I understand why everybody liked other Rumbles, but I think for that time, I think they did a really good job of interweaving a lot of hot acts into a pretty good match. So that was one I was a little bit interested to see if someone would have taken.
Yeah, in my opinion, the decade of the 2000s, like 2000 to 2009 or 10, was probably the best era for Royal Rumble matches. There were a few duds in there, but there were a lot of really good ones. A lot in that 10-year period.
And if you have half an hour and you want to check out a Rumble that no one talks about, that's actually kind of fun. Throw in the 95 Rumble. There's minute intervals, so everyone's in and out. There's 100 million guys that you'll never see anywhere else. Fucking Mantar's in there.
Well done.
Well done. It's just shocking who is in that Rumble. And it's so quick.
Dick Murdoch.
And it's so quick that like nothing, like you can't get bored because there's always someone coming in. And, you know, Sean and Bulldog kind of anchor it, but there's no real stars in it, which kind of really hurts it. But it's a lot of fun for, you know, a very short, little Rumble there.
And I do want to mention the 93 Rumble. I think it was John when he picked the 92 Rumble where he talked about it was kind of the last great, you know, march back to the territories in that match. But in the 93 Rumble, I think at the same time, you had Backlund, Flair, DiBiase, Martel, Piper, I want to say.
Lawler.
Tenru.
Yeah.
And Tenru all in the ring at one time.
Yeah, it's insane.
Which is insane. And Backlund goes 45 minutes and is really good. He's really good in that
match. And Yokozuna belly-to-belly suplexes Earthquake over the top. It's awesome.
Yes.
Can I recommend a fun thing? There's this website called hugequiz.com where you like just, there's these quizzes where you just like list things. And one of the quizzes is name every participant ever in a Royal Rumble match.
Oh my God.
It is so much fun. I got very close to naming all of them. There were a few that I forgot in the recent years, but Man, it is a lot of fun. I highly recommend doing that sometime when you have a lot of time to kill.
Okay.
Did you make sure Psychosis got in there? Psychosis was in Rumble.
I did, and Super Crazy, who was actually in two Royal Rumbles, which I didn't realize.
Wow.
I did. I got all those guys from the 97 Rumble, all the luchadores.
Great.
Good job. We're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to kind of give the order of our shows and our final pitch to the voters to vote for their particular match. And then, and then that will be a show, a super show, which we haven't done in a while. So we'll be back. And we're back. Thanks for everyone for hanging in there for whatever I inserted into this break. I don't know what, but I'm sure it was awesome. So what we're going to do now is we're all going to lay out our card, kind of hype it up, give what order it's in, and then it'll be in your hands to pick the winners. And we might do this again for WrestleMania, and then that will be a longer show with more matches picked and a lot more choices. So there is that. But let's go in draft order then. Tim.
All right.
What do you got?
So I'm gonna open my show with Ambrose Owens for the IC title in the Last Man Standing match. And then I'm going to go with Bryan Wyatt for my second match. Then for my third match, I'm going to do the tag title match between the Quebecers and Brett and Owen. For my fourth match, I'm going to do the WWE title match between Umaga and Cena. My fifth match is going to be Kalisto versus Alberto Del Rio. And then I'm going to do the Rumble match as my final match. And most likely, I'm going to throw a promo in there somewhere where John Cena has to be taken to the hospital, and then miraculously he comes back and he wins the Rumble at the end.
So, nice.
I think that's
yeah, because he was
that's a perfect booking.
Come back out of nowhere, shocking.
Yeah,
so that's perfect.
Yeah.
Actually,
perfect. Yeah, there you go. And I think I was thinking about putting Kalisto and Del Rio up front, but I think after having so many long story driven matches, having that as kind of a way to, you know, it's not really a pillow match or anything like that. It is a match that has a little bit different pace to it. And I think considering people are about to sit through an hour long Rumble, it'd be nice to have a match like that to get them ready and pumped up. So
yeah, that's a great show.
There you go.
Next up was John. Yes, John.
All right.
How's your show look like?
I think my show looks great, if I can just say so myself. I'm really happy with the way my show turned out. I'm a big fan in wrestling of like having cards that kind of have something for everyone. I like to have different styles and different types of matches and that type of thing. So we're going to start off with Taz and Kurt Angle. As I said, is one of the great Rumble openers. And we're going to have to put this Rumble in New York or Philly to really make that work. So that's my first match. Second match, we're going to go with the Garvin Valentine submission match. Third match, we'll go with New Day and Usos for the tag titles. We'll have some William Regal, brass knuckle tomfoolery in the fourth spot against Edge for the Intercontinental title. Neville and Rich Swann in the fifth spot, because that's just really what WWE would do. If they didn't even put it on the kickoff show, they'd put it right before the Rumble. And then we close with the 92 Rumble for the WWE title.
It's a pretty damn good show. Can't really complain about that.
I think so.
Man. Okay. Yeah, I got to stay with my order. Okay, go ahead, Matt.
All right, so I have a lot of, like, brawl slash gimmick matches on my show. So I figured what I would do is gimmick match, then a non-gimmick match, then a gimmick match. So I start with the Hardys and the Dudleys. I feel like that's your classic hot opener. You know, lots of big spots, really gets the crowd rocking. Then I – what seems like you settle down a little bit because you have Bob Holly and the 1-2-3 Kid against Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka for the tag team titles. So maybe the crowd's a little bit spent at the beginning, but these guys get them back into the match because they do a really good job. And then they really bring it up at the end with the Bigelow-Lawrence Taylor confrontation. And if this match is happening in 2019, people will really care a lot about Lawrence Taylor, let me tell you.
And you have ghosts and the only in it, too. So.
Yeah, he's got a lot of ghosts. Next match, too. But at least we know who the heel is in the next match. Chris Benoit versus Chris Jericho in a ladder match. Chris Benoit versus Chris Jericho in a ladder match. You know, that's obviously a great match. So to follow it, you need to have big stars. So you have the Undertaker's entrance, gets everyone rocking. Great match against Mysterio. I think the crowd's going to be really into that no matter what they follow it with. And then you have the emotional high point, Cactus Jack against Triple H in the street fight. Then, after all that, you need to follow it with a old school 5-minute countdown clock intermission. And also, after that, a long series of promos with all the women in the Women's Rumble talking about how they're going to win, set to that old school Royal Rumble music. And then you close out with the Women's Rumble, Asuka winning, Ronda Rousey debuts.
That's a fucking great show. And it's well laid out because, yeah, you had some, you kind of like pigeonholed you into doing it a certain way.
Exactly.
All right. So my show. All right. We're going to start off with an awesome tag hot opener between the Rockers and the Orient Express from 1991. And then we get, you know, an emotional title match between Becky Lynch and Charlotte with the Divas title. And after that, after you all feel sorry for Becky getting screwed over, you gotta lighten it up. You bring out Sonny as like the referee for Max Mani, Mosaic, and Nova versus Battalion, El Torito, and Tarantula from 1998. Then we get back into a more serious match with the Jumping Bomb Angels versus the Glamour Girls, 2 out of 3 falls for the women's titles, tag titles. Then you got your big title match with Brett and Diesel, from 95, which is an amazing match, but you got your schmoz ending. So now we gotta send everyone home happy. So we get the 2007 Royal Rumble, all ending with the long Shawn Michaels, Undertaker ending. I guess this is in Texas. And we tease future matches between the two of them and send everyone home happy with the Undertaker, being victorious. So that's my show. And it's really good.
Nice. Yeah. Hell of a show.
I would love that show. But then again, I pick matches I loved. So that makes sense. so that's all our shows. So let's get some plugs out of the way here. John, what would you like to talk about?
Well, of course, I would like to plug Pro Wrestling Only.
that sounds like a smart move. Yes.
It's the website for, I tell people it's the the most informed resource for wrestling fans that's out there. You see all kinds of different styles of wrestling and promotions and eras in the content, both of the podcasts and the written stuff. The forum is awesome. The database that we're putting together of all the matches and cards and stuff is really starting to get deep. So yeah, Go check it out. Go sign up for the forums. Join the conversation. And also, of course, Television Time Remaining, one of those podcasts looking at the old Mid-South Library. We actually recorded our second episode just the other day after a lengthy break due to Christmas and holidays and illness and various things. So, yeah, those are the two things. And the podcast, by the way, TVTR Podcast on whatever Facebook, Twitter, whichever one strikes your fancy. They're both the same. TVTR Podcast.
What is it on MySpace? Because it's my favorite.
We don't. Oh, and if you really want to, you know, drag down your news feed, you can follow me on Twitter, John_Morehouse. So,
thank you.
And you'll want to follow me because I'm going to win this competition.
Well, thank you very much for that. Matt, what pro wrestling only podcast do you want to plug?
Well, first of all, I also want to plug ProWrestlingOnly.com. Great website, great podcast feed, and I have one of many podcasts on there. I am the co-host of Through the Years. That's Through spelled T-H-R-O-H, and it's Trevor Dame and me. Trevor is the real host. He does all sorts of work and due diligence and research to make it as good as possible. I mostly get to watch old DVDs and make smart alecky remarks about them, but it basically is a rewatch of every major ROH DVD from the beginning in 2002. We upload about once a month, and we're up to the last show of 2003 for our next show. And it's, I think, a lot of fun, especially if you like that era of indie wrestling. And I am at Mayor MGF on Twitter. Trevor Dame is at Trevor Dame on Twitter. If you follow me, it'll be some wrestling comments, also a bunch of retweets of left-wing Twitter accounts. So enjoy that if you'd like.
Awesome. And I'm a big Tromposo fan myself, so love the show. Tim, do you want to plug a Pro Wrestling Only podcast as well?
Hey, you know what? I'm also going to plug ProWrestlingOnly.com. Mainly because I think John would beat me up if I didn't. I think that you should listen to we're going to get back going with it, but I'm the co-host of the Match of the Week podcast with Tanner on a weekly basis, but we went into a little bit of a break because of the holidays and me getting a new job and me moving and me not really having good access to internet where I could actually do shows. So I'm kind of, we're hoping to get back going here in the next week or two to get back to it. But on top of that, I am a commentator for Phoenix Pro Wrestling out here in the Northern Bay Area in California with Eric Ritz, who you might know at Segunda Caída on the interwebs. And he and I also co-write, because we know people are still big fans, of Lucha Underground. So you can read our reviews of all the Lucha Underground. We're up to season 4. We're about to do episode 14. So we're coming down to the wire here. And then, on top of that, the shows for PPW go up on the YouTube channel, PPW Petaluma. So go and check that out. And then also I'm hoping, I have a couple ideas coming up for some series for the ProWrestlingOnly.com website too. So, I'm hoping to do much more wrestling content now that I have a stable job, time to do stuff. And, you can also follow me at Twitter at Mr. Tim Livingston. I will be retweeting a lot of weird baseball stats as well as, interesting wrestling content. So that's where you can find me.
And I'm, Stephen Graham, Stephen Graham TWS on Twitter. You can also, on the Pro Wrestling Only podcast network, you can listen to Shimmer Herstory, just like the ROH show that Matt does, but with Shimmer, me and Stacey, from Australia, going over each of those shows. We've done the first two, the third one's recorded and will be out soon. And we're going to keep going. Currently the shows on the Shimmer are, focused on the man, Becky Lynch. So. Definitely worth checking out. Do I have anything else to plug? No, eh? Oh, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I mentioned my Twitter, but yeah, you get wrestling stuff. You get the left-wing politics like Matt. But you don't get baseball, you get hockey. So there's that. We've got to end the show now. So, Tim, why don't you take us out?
Hey, thanks, everybody, for choosing us to listen to for the last hour, 30 minutes or so. And we'll be back come WrestleMania season for a similar draft like this. So stay tuned here on this very feed for all that. But thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.